Welcome to the History of North America. I'm Mark Vinette. In 1621, the Virginia Company of London recruited young, pleasant-looking, and honestly educated women to become wives for the planters in its new colony in Jamestown. Though the women had all gone of their own free will, they were to be sold into marriage, generating a profit for investors and helping ensure the colony's long-term viability. Hopeful husbands were supposed to pay for their brides in tobacco. But who were the English women who made the Atlantic crossing? And what happened to them when they arrived? Let's learn more about this fascinating part of colonial history as told by the Not Just the Tudors podcast.
In 1621, the Virginia Company of London put out a call for young women to become wives for the planters in its new colony in Jamestown. 56 women responded, daring to cross the Atlantic in hope of a better life. For many of these women, the furthest that they would have travelled was from their homes to London to find work. Few, if any, would ever have set foot on a boat. None had any idea what to expect in the colony, but may well have heard stories about disease, war, and starvation. It took great courage and enormous gumption to go anyway. We can see why the men of Jamestown wanted them, and indeed it's possible to see why the company wanted them as well. Husbands were supposed to pay for their English brides £150 in weight of best leaf tobacco, at the value of around £25 sterling, and since each woman cost £12 or so to import, that represented a profit for investors of 100% or more. But what about the women? Who were they? Why did they go? And what became of them when they arrived? To tell us about the lives of these extraordinary women, I'm pleased to welcome author Jennifer Potter. Jennifer has written Jamestown Brides, The Bartered Women of the New World, which she joins us to discuss. So your story starts in 1621, and we're tracing the lives of 56 English women recruited as brides for planters in Jamestown in the colony of Virginia. But could we do a bit of context setting first? Could you tell us a bit about Jamestown and the Virginia Company?
Jamestown as a colony started only in 1607, and the Virginia Company of London was given a charter to found a colony there. The initial aim was profit, to make as much money as possible, to really take the resources of the country and bring them back. There was also the idea that they would civilize the natives, but that was fairly low down the list of priorities. And so in 1607, the first men, and they were all men, landed in Virginia, and they chose Jamestown as the place where they would start a colony. It was actually a terribly bad choice. It's in Virginia, it's up the James River, and it's at the point where the salt water of the lower James meets the fresh water of the upper James, so it's on the borderline. So not very good for water supply, and the wells became contaminated very quickly, and summer was a deadly time, and there was terrible sickness in the colony. It was a really hard place to survive.
It's notable that in that first decade, the Virginia Company were really struggling in its mission. The colonists were in decline. What are the other reasons for this?
There are all sorts of reasons, but they chose the wrong place. There were also problems with the indigenous population. And I think there's no doubt that the Native Americans were very helpful a lot of the time in the very early days. But the English were rapacious in their desire for land. And so they kept expanding the colony, and relations with the native population became really terrible because of the way the English were behaving.
Now, you've said that it was all men by this point. So tell me about how you came across the women and something of the process you went through to recover the fragments of their lives.
By the time the Jamestown brides went over to Virginia, 1621, so the colony is about 14 years old, there were then one woman to every six men. And Sir Edwin Sandys had just taken over in 1619 as the leader of the Virginia Company. And he's determined to increase the population and particularly to increase the number of women, because Jamestown was a very dangerous place, or the colony, because by then the colony was wider than just Jamestown Island. And it was mainly a place where young men went to make money as single men and then returned to England. So Sandys wanted to root these rootless men with wives and children. He decided that one way to do this was to send over shiploads of women. And in 1620, he sent over a shipload of about 90 women. We don't know who they were, because at this point, the colony was still just about financially okay. These women were to be sent over. If they married tenants of the Virginia Company, they were provided free. And if they married other people who weren't Virginia Company tenants, then their husbands would only have to pay for the cost of transportation, which was then about £6.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-218-6010. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-218-6010. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-218-6010.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
By then, the Virginia Company's really sole serious source of income was from a series of lotteries that went around the country to raise money to colonize Virginia. And there were all sorts of complaints about the lottery. First of all, that they were sucking money out of local economy. There was a suggestion that there was a certain amount of corruption involved, but they weren't popular. They were very popular for the people who were hoping that they would make a fortune through the lottery. And King James was always rather ambivalent about Virginia, partly because by then its principal crop was tobacco, and King James hated tobacco. He referred to the vile custom of smoking tobacco. He called this vile custom loathsome to the eye, hateful to the nose, harmful to the brain, dangerous to the lungs. Actually, he was quite advanced for his time. And in the black and stinking fume thereof, nearest resembling the horrible Stygian smoke of the pit that is bottomless. Okay, King James I of England, 6th of Scotland, really doesn't like smoking. And there were complaints about the lottery in Parliament, and James decided that the Virginia lotteries had to stop. And he stopped them virtually overnight. So suddenly, the Virginia Company was virtually bankrupt. It had no money coming in because there was no other investment, really, no serious investment apart from the lotteries. So what Sir Edwin Sandys decided to do was to set up four trades that would attract individual investment from investors that would solve the financial problems of the company. And it was a trade in making glass beads, a trade in furs, a trade in general supplies, which the colony really needed. And then the fourth trade was a trade in 100 maids to be made wives. So the Virginia Company actually set up a trade in women, and it hoped that this trade would be a huge success. It needed to attract really good women who were, it said, young, handsome, and honestly educated. We don't know if they were handsome, but the company kept lists of who the women were.
So what biographical details do we have about the women who went to Jamestown?
The lists are completely fascinating for any historian of the times, even if they're not looking at these women. It's a complete picture of female society at a time when you really don't get this sort of information. We're told the women's names, their age, who their parents were, father's trade and occupation, and they also had to come recommended to the company. They had to be vouched for. So certainly in the very early days, the Virginia Company was putting together its shipment of brides very quickly because it was desperate to get the women over there so that it could sell the women. But the lists are completely fascinating.
Check out the YouTube version of this episode, which has accompanying images. I'm Mark Vinette, and I hope you're enjoying the ride. Doctors endorse it, nutritionists recommend it, and customers love it. Calotrin Healthy Weight Loss. Ron in Texas lost 35 pounds. Marie in Pennsylvania lost 117 pounds with Calotrin. Diane not only lost weight, but she also found relief from arthritis. Lynn lost over 45 pounds. Calotrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calotrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calotrin has an amazing 86% success rate with their 90-day supply. And this week, take advantage of their President's Day sale. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free, plus free shipping. Ordering is so easy. Just text the word HISTORY to the code 30605, and we'll send you a link to this special offer. Again, text HISTORY, that's HISTORY, using the code 30605.